Good evening, everyone, and once again, Merry, Merry Christmas. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at our website, www.scarsvoip.com. Your net control, at least one of them, is W4RFJ. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm merely opening it up. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, which is currently a temperature of 65 degrees after a high of 85, and it's rainy, rainy out there. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Well, that's a great thing. We have no emergency traffic. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, maybe this week or last week? Or maybe even today, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy. All right, no birthday stations, you know. That means we're not getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and our other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speakers or speakers. Now let me advise all stations connected tonight that this net is recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So if you've been part of this session tonight, you'll most definitely be part of that recording. Subject tonight is science and Santa. So hopefully you'll enjoy, and like I said, have a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And at this point, I'm going to throw it over to Mr. KY6V, who will begin the program. But guys, have fun tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. KY6V here. Before we get started, I'd like to give you a brief insight as to the program coming up and try to explain what we can and cannot do with some of the information provided, and further stress the importance of the confidential material we will be sharing. So under the disclaimer department, it reads, the information you gain this evening should be kept within the South CARS membership. Certainly, it can be openly discussed with your immediate family and, most importantly, your children, as they are the only non-magical people who can understand this techno-babble. The information provided this evening has been obtained from what we believe to be reliable sources. Some has been proven 100% factual, as perceived by mankind, and others currently remain in a theoretical state. As an example, we know that there are some not yet understood gray areas between physicists that support the general relativity and those who are deeply involved in quantum mechanics and areas of those domains. So that said, let the best group win. As agreed in a signed document with the North Pole Legal Department, we reserve the right to protect the highly technical means that Santa utilizes to go about his business. plausible deniability can and will be enforced as scientists and prying eyes attempt to undermine Santa's well-kept secrets. So with that said, we're going to get the program started, and we're going to start it off with our head narrator, and that is Chief W4RFJ. Please come aboard, sir, from KY6V.
Sorry about that. Thanks, Gordon, and thank you to Miss Sunshine for her intro. And, Captain, I think you did a great job on that disclaimer. Okay, we are going to open by discussing, for starters, how Santa goes about running his operation. It seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? From the first nightfall on Christmas Eve until dawn on Christmas morning, one stout and elderly man, armed only with a magic sleigh and 8 flying reindeer, must deliver toys to children in every household in the world. That is, the households of children who believe in him, anyway. With the population having recently passed 7 billion, is this physically possible? I'd like to pass it off to... hold on just a second. I would like to pass it off to KY6V to take the first round of check-ins. Captain, you game for that? Over. I blew it. Sorry.
Now, you know, that's part of the chief's department, when to drop the line and when to pull the line. Yeah. Thank you very much, Roger Sun. KY6V here. Okay, any questions before the house, before we get into the meat of the program? I understand there's some of you out there that have got a couple of questions that I said, hey, keep it for Thursday night. So, if so, check in now, please, to suffix only, and call KY6V. Over. Okay, well, while it's quiet here, I had heard through the grapevine that George had a question he wanted to ask, and I also heard that David, that's George N070, and EWG had something as well. So, George, are you there? If so, front and center, sir, N070, KY6V.
Well, good evening to South Cars, TIN, and to Santa, and his sleigh, and all his reindeer, and all the people out here in the South Cars. Or, I don't know, are we in the South Cars parking lot? Is that where we are, looking at this marvelous sleigh with all the... flashing lights and tinkling bell and Raspberry Pi driven control circuits and so forth. Well, anyway, I have a question, please. My question is, how many square miles does Santa have to travel? And a follow-up to that is, since Santa is anything but square, I mean, he's one hip cat, then... in addition to knowing how many square miles he has to travel, I'm wondering about whether square or round cookies or both are needed on his plate at the bottom of the chimney. KY6V and the Scars, South Cars, TIN Santa Edition in a 7-0, over.
Well, you know, George, that's a good question about the square cookies. I really don't have a positive answer on that part of it, other than knowing his consumption and his likes. I don't think he gives a toot, whether it's round, pointed, or squared. He'll eat it. To answer your question, to the best of my knowledge, they have determined that... the number of square miles that Santa travels during his exploits during delivering packages is 25 million square miles. And the only thing that I can say, George, is I'm glad I did not need to calculate that myself. Does that answer your question, sir? Over.
It does indeed. May I ask a second follow-up question, please, Heather?
Well, sure. Go right ahead.
Well, since he's equally happy as one hip cat with both with square, round, and pointed, do we know if he prefers chocolate, butterscotch, peanut butter, or good old plain sugar vanilla? That thanks for the answer on that one, too. KY6V in the South Coast CIN, NO70.
Well, again, it's my understanding, George, that, you know, a cookie's a cookie to him, and he doesn't care what variety. I'm led to believe that he favors slightly the chocolate type cookies, chocolate tip type cookies. And an interesting point here is that the reason Gary's running a little bit late is his wife Stephanie has the job of supplying the cookies for the Christmas gathering at work tomorrow. She is cooking the cookies, and the oven thermometer is acting up, and they are not cooking correctly. So while we're talking about cookies, that's why Gary's going to be a little bit late. He's in the kitchen trying to bail out the problem for Stephanie. Okay, thank you, George. I'm going to move on. David, EWG, did you have a question, sir? Over.
Well, good evening to you, Gordon Chief. Santa Claus, if you're around with your reindeer, good evening to you and everybody on South Cars. KVWG, David, La Crosse, Wisconsin, 36 degrees, 85% humidity. And yes, Gordon, I understand, you know, NORAD does Santa tracking every year. So I'm just wondering exactly what all is involved with tracking Santa Claus in his travels there. KY6B from KB9EWG.
Very good question, David. Thank you. KY6B here for South Cars. And I've always been very impressed with the operation of NORAD around Christmas time. We have used him for tracking on a lot of our programs through the years and respect them very highly. Well, to answer your question, there are numerous systems that either work independently or collectively with others. We have air-to-ground radars, obviously. We have satellites with GPS equipment. We have ISS, the International Space Station, live video to get our hands on. And the sleigh itself has a transponder transmitting latitude, longitude, elevation of the sleigh, direction of travel, and so on and so forth. So basically he can run, but he just can't hide. Does that answer your question, David? Over.
Oh, definitely. And I'll make sure I leave out some cookies for him as well there. So thank you, KB90WG.
Okay. Audio sounded great, too, David. Thank you very much. KY6V. Let me think here. I think Mike had a question also. I guess my question to Mike, before he gives his question to us, is how he's liking the weather down here in Florida after being up in Maine for so long. WA1NXI, what you got, Tiger? KY6V and South Cars.
Well, good evening, buddy aboard. Sure, I'm learning a lot about Santa Claus tonight. And I did have a question. I was wondering, is Santa able to maintain a precise time schedule?
Well, that's a darn good question, too, Mike. KY6V. The answer is, for the most part, yes. He's normally spot on. Very, very punctual. However, there are times, maybe a few nanoseconds, or in some cases, maybe milliseconds, that he's late. And from what I understand, this is due in part to the general relativity analysis of how the space-time is dilated. And if you need any more information on that, you're going to have to talk with Einstein. Mike, over.
Thanks for answering that question. Probably you don't know the answer to how he makes up those milliseconds that he gets and how he makes up the lost time. But anyway, thanks for answering that question for me, Gordon, and I'll check back in maybe in a little while with another one.
Well, thank you, Mike. Okay, you're dropping in and out just a little bit, but it's not serious. And I'll let Roger comment on this also, but your question about how he makes up for the nanoseconds and milliseconds that he may lose, he just bends the space-time consortium just a little bit more, which we can get into in more depth later if you'd like. And speaking of the chief, he's up, ladies and gentlemen. W4RFJ from KY6V. Go ahead, senor.
Well, there I go. I'm getting another window up and down and all around. And wow, this is some great questions we're getting this evening. You know, extrapolating for the population growth since the date of the latest survey, there are approximately 1.6 billion households worldwide. And since the Earth has about 25 million square miles, as the captain stated, 65 million square kilometers, in other words, of habitable land, the average distance between any two households is approximately 0.138 miles, or for the Europeans, 0.225 kilometers. Due to time zones, the international dateline, and the variations in sunset, sunrise, times, and this means Santa has about 31 hours to hit those half billion households. And in that time, he's got some tasks that he has to perform. But I got to tell you, this information is from our perspective. There's technologies and quantum physics and analysis and all that stuff that's going on that basically, and I think I heard somebody mention it earlier, gives Santa and his party of present delivering helpers, basically they look like they're all in one place at one time. So anyway, some of the things that he has to do, let me grab a nickel. He has to travel to the house a mean distance of 0.205 miles or 0.33 kilometers from the last house, depart his sleigh, and enter the house undetected, deliver all the presents, eat any snacks left for him. I think that at KY6V's place, he's expecting cookies and beer. And then he's got to leave that house undetected, mount the sleigh, and head for the next house. And basically, to move the mean distance from house to house, Santa need only travel at, give me just a second here, my brain's frying on me. Assuming he takes roughly 50% of the time allotted to travel, around 6,400 miles per hour, and that comes out to about 10,000 kilometers per hour. Sure, that might seem awfully fast compared to your typical sleigh or even your typical car, train, or supersonic aircraft, but that's only about a quarter as fast as most rockets wind up going. If you fuel up those reindeer right, there's no reason to believe Santa can't make that journey. Anyway, Gordon, am I coming through okay real quick? W4RFJ. Darn it.
Yeah, you're coming through fine. You just have trouble releasing the PTT. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm having operator issues here. So, continuing on. Okay, let's try to put this in perspective. 6,400 miles per hour is 107 miles per minute, or 2 miles per second. Further, his speed is only as little less than 3% or 3.5% of the speed of light. I guess this means that he is slow in a universal standard, but fast in our standards or earthly standards. What makes sense in what I have just explained may actually be beyond mankind's comprehension. At least that's the way I look at it. Taking into account that however we try to measure and or record data to prove or disprove the actual art of delivering toys, we still fall short in proving anything. All right, well, let's take a standby for some check-ins for more questions. Anybody got any questions for us so that we can move forward with the net, please call W4RFJ.
NO70.
NO70 recognized. Go ahead, sir.
Well, hey, Chief, good evening. Okay, well, again, a compound question. So part A of my question is, how many, since you were talking about, you know, his going from home to home, how many homes does he have to deliver presents to on Christmas Eve? And along with that, since we're talking about the relativity theory, and that brings the opposite side of quantum theory, where they're looking at relativity versus quantum in recent research. And since we know that apartment building homes, you know, are stacked vertically, so that one, if you were to drill one chimney down through the apartment building, you can maybe get an economy of effort by having three homes or apartments for one chimney. So I'm wondering if apartment buildings provide some advantage in terms of the time that it takes them to deliver presents. W4FJ, NO70.
Yeah, I'm really having trouble with my operating skills this evening. Well, let's see. I think we've figured it out, and this is on average, about 1.6 billion households are visited on Christmas Eve. And we really can't even be sure, because out of that 1.6 billion, you know, we got to keep in mind that the magic only works for households or homes that the children believe in magic. So if you don't believe in Santa Claus, he ain't going to stop by and visit. I got to tell you, I believe in him, and I see him every year. I mean, I don't see him, but, you know, anyway, I digress. Does that answer that question, Sheriff? Go ahead.
It certainly does. Of course, I think you do also have to consider the delay that needs to be built in for when somebody sees Mommy kissing Santa Claus. That might put a little delay in. Okay, back to you, Chief. W4FJ and the Stars TIN, South Guard TIN, NO70. Over.
Well, thank you, George. And, okay, as far as the physics, I mean, you got to look at this from about 30 different directions. And I don't think we have math that can cooperate with us in 30 different levels, or how should I put it? I can't think of the word, but anyway, it has to do with levels of existence. You know, there's 30 directions that you have to approach when calculating how to physically, anyway, I digress. There is no way of proving and or disproving that Santa doesn't use the front door, and or if he doesn't do something physically. Didn't you watch the Santa Claus? I mean, that explained how they took a radiator and it, like, turned into a fireplace. So that's where I lay my answer on that question. How's that, George? W4RFJ with the South Cars Saturday, or no, that's the wrong net. South Cars Thursday Information Net. Go ahead.
Well, I think I'm better prepared to be ready for Santa Claus's visit. And with all the goodies and everything now, well, with the information. Thank you, Chief and South Cars, NO70, over.
Sheriff, Okay. For some reason my audio level went down. But the one thing that you got to keep in mind here is, you know, we are very limited on who, what, where, why, when, and how we can interpret how, what, why Santa Claus does his thing. I mean, it's just way above and beyond us. Now, you talk to a scientist or you talk to, you know, the quantum physics people, and they don't believe that. So they believe that they're better than Santa Claus, but I beg to differ. Anyway, is there anybody else got any more questions for us? This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Santa Claus and science.
Six, Victor.
Yeah, go ahead there, Captain. I think Mike had a question, but I'm not sure if he's still with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to mention that also, that, you know, he mentioned that he had a question earlier, so you may want to call on him. And in partial retort to NO70 and your comment about 30 or better deviations of mathematical approaches to what the heck is happening here is going to be answered in time. And it will all be done by the quantum computers. Just ask the guys that are trying to build it. Go ahead, Roger, over.
Oh, man, you let the cat out of the bag. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, let me turn it over to Mike, WA1NXI. I understand you have a question. Go ahead. I guess, Captain, do you know what that question was?
Yeah, I think he was talking about earlier about how does Santa's sleigh resupply system work. You know, how many stops does he have to make? You know, how many times does he have to fill up his chariot? That kind of thing. Roger, over.
Ah, yes, okay. Yeah, I remember him talking about that. This is complicated, and believe it or not, a big operation. There are Santa helpers working on this all year long. They determine the number of houses, further analyze the density in the various areas, and establish manned and stocked supply centers prior to the need. Each supply center is equipped with trained personnel acting like a pit crew who can reload the sleigh in less than a minute where and when needed. Even delays can be resolved with his tight control over the space-time continuum. And that's where those quantum computers are really going to be helpful. How's that sound, Captain?
Well, sounds very involved. It also sounds like to me that Amazon's trying very hard, but I think they need to talk to Santa. What do you think, Raj? Over.
Yeah, I think they're they're never going to catch up with him. With him, no way. So, what other perspectives or history do you have on the logistics of Christmas, Captain? Let me turn it over to you and let you talk for a little bit. KY6V, this is W4RFJ, and again, I'd like to invite everybody to come on in and ask some questions. You know, let's have some fun tonight. This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net. Go ahead, Captain.
Well, I'm happy to give it a try. There's a couple of things that we might cover here. I'm reading the text box, Roger, and it's from Charlie up there in the Poconos, J-U-F. He says, it's all right. Just ignore me. I'm crazy tonight. Well, you know, Charlie, join the crowd. It's been a crazy day down here, and it's getting crazier by the moment. Let me buy a nickel here, and we'll get started on some other notes. And this is KY6V for South Cars. You know, all over the world, families and friends give presents to each other. Most children around the world believe in Christmas gift bringer, and it's often St. Nicholas, Santa Claus, or Father Christmas. But in parts of Germany, they believe that it is Chris Kind. And in Spain, they believe that it's a wise man. And in parts of Italy, they believe it's an old lady called Befana. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I have it spelled as B-E-F-A-N-A as the lady's name. These presents are also left in different places in most of Europe. The presents are left in shoes or boots, but out by the children. In Italy, the UK, and the US, presents are left in stockings, often left hanging by a fireplace. And in many countries, presents for friends and family may be left under the Christmas tree. And in the UK, are often opened on Christmas Day morning with the whole family together. So there's some information. Let me buy a nickel. To continue on this vein, the custom of hanging socks comes from the story of St. Nicholas presents. Our presents are open on different days over the world as well. The earliest presents are opened is St. Nicholas Day on December 5th. Now listen to this, guys and gals. December 5th, when children in Holland of 10 receive their presents. On St. Nicholas Day, which is the 6th of December, children in Belgium, Germany, Czech Republic, and some European countries open some of their presents. So children in the UK, USA, and many other countries, such as Japan, open their presents on Christmas Day, December the 25th. That sound familiar to you? The latest presents are opened on January the 6th. Now, I found this interesting also. The latest presents are opened on January 6th, a month after the earliest. This is a procedure mainly celebrated in Catholic countries such as Spain and Mexico. One popular way of giving presents in groups such as clubs, school classes, workplaces, is to have a secret Santa. And this is where you pull the name of someone else in the group out of a hat or other container. You then buy a present for that person, and when the presents are given out, often at Christmas parties, each person is given their present, but they have no idea which person the group came from. They don't know who bought it. They don't know who the person was. Let me buy a nickel here. Okay, at this point, let's take some more check-ins. And we're looking for comments and questions and contributions. And what have you got planned for the holidays, guys and gals? Please call Gordon, KY6V, for South Cars.
Zulu Lima 4, November Oscar Romeo Mike, Norm, St. Helen, New Zealand.
Okay, Romeo Mike, stand by one, sir. We'll get right to you. Let me see. Charlie's trying to get in, but he's having trouble. JUF, are you hearing me?
And recheck from Echo Whiskey Golf.
Okay, David, stand by if you would. Charlie, I'm awfully sorry. You know, it sounds to me you're keying up, but there's no audio. And the last time when I turned it to you and said, do you hear me, I heard a very faint yes, yes, and then some crackles, and you dropped out of things. So it sounds to me like you might have a dirty or not fitting proper properly situated microphone plug. So you might want to check that and then come back to us, if you'd be so kind. I think that was a ZL down there that was checking in with Romeo Mike. EWG, stand by. The Romeo Mike station, KY6V. Good evening.
Yeah, good afternoon all from the South Island of New Zealand. The call sign is Zulu Lima 4, November Oscar Romeo Mike. It's a 2x4 call sign, and there's also John in the background there, VK3HJQ as well. And I just want to pop in quickly and wish you all Merry Christmas. Unfortunately, I'll be working the whole time. The joys of owning your own small brewery. people like to drink a lot of beer this time of year, so I shall be flat out brewing, so no time for much play for me. Hopefully, mid-January, I might get a couple of days off. But apart from that, I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from the South Island in New Zealand. And we'll probably be one of the first countries in the world to see the big red fellow turn up. Ditto for NORN.
You know, you're absolutely correct. I do think that he starts down in your neck of the woods and then works his way up to the north and then back down to a little further west on a southerly track and up and down and up and down and up and down. But I think it's New Zealand and Australia, right around your neck of the woods that he starts. Well, look, happy holidays from our house to yours. And a stiff upper lip, is that appropriate for New Zealand? raise that mug. How about that, sir? Over.
Yeah, well, I just call it quality control here at Brewery, and there's always plenty of quality control to be done. No brewer leaves here without being sampled many times. Have a good and safe Christmas and a Happy New Year. ZL4 in or in back to net control.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming by. That was ZL4NORM. Let me rotate the house from New Zealand up to Wisconsin. 9EWG, please. Go ahead, David.
Okay, well, thank you, Gordon. Well, I've got a question for you here. You know, we've seen a lot of change in technology, in lighting and everything else there. You know, I mean, we've gone from incandescent to, you know, there was fluorescent, neon, and, you know, now we're doing all LED. In fact, my house is 100% LED lit now. But just curious, you know, either biology or electronics or whatever, what's involved and why does Rudolph's red nose glow? KY6D, KV90WG.
Isn't that a fascinating question? Thank you, David. KY6V here for Southgarth. Why does Rudolph's nose glow? And also, I would probably put in there, why does Rudolph have a red nose? Well, anyway, from what I understand, David, researchers of the University of Brighton have come up with an explanation, and they're calling it bioluminescence, or the production of light. Now, we're talking about his nose glowing, obviously. This is as a result of chemical reactions similar to that produced by fireflies and some deep-sea organisms, you know, that use light to trap their and catch their prey, etc., etc. I'm also told that the reason that Rudolph has such a red nose is, first of all, reindeer have more capillaries in their noses than humans, as an example, and that's to help keep things warm during the winter season. Rudolph just has a little more than the normal. So with the extra capillaries and this inbuilt light system, you know, I track that in my mind of what these chameleons do. You know, they change their skin. and the octopuses and some of those guys that that change their color, well, somehow Rudolph's got some of that. What do you think, David? KY6V, over.
Well, it's rather interesting. You know, it's interesting to hear the technology and the biologics, I guess you could say. Thank you, Gordon. KY6V from KB9EWG.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that Roger can amplify on this a little bit more also on the subject that you just posed. Thank you very much, David. Let's turn it back up there to the chief. W4RFJ, KY6V.
Okay, let's see if I've got this down pat here. I'm getting my operating skills back together. You know, Gordon and the net, most people know that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer has a very shiny nose. But why? Medical researchers say they've now found the answer. And as Gordon had mentioned, the secret to Rudolph's rosy schnozzle is the dense network of blood vessels in his nose. Now, you got to keep in mind, there's some quantum physics going on in here that nobody's really paying attention to. However, it seems that reindeer have 25% more capillaries carrying red oxygen-rich blood in their nasal architecture than humans. And this is said by the scientists from the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam, the Netherlands, and the University of Rochester, New York. In colder climates, and also when they are higher up in the atmosphere pulling Santa's sleigh, the increased blood flow in the nose will keep the nose's surface warm. Dr. John Cullen of the University of Rochester said, "The dense network of blood vessels in reindeer noses is also essential for regulating the animal's internal body temperature. Like many mammals, reindeer don't sweat. Let me grab a nickel." The researchers took advantage of high-tech instruments like handheld intravital video microscopes to compare the blood vessels of two reindeer, Rangifer tarandus, with those of human volunteers, five healthy humans, and one with nasal polyps. One of the human volunteers was examined after inhaling 0.0035 ounces, or 100 milligrams, of cocaine. This is a drug routinely used in ear, nose, and throat medicine as local anesthetic and vasoconstrictor. The researchers write in the British Medical Journal this week. That's where we got that information. We're kind of glad they didn't do the same thing with the reindeer, because the last thing we would want is reindeer on cocaine pulling Santa around the sky. And that was also said by Cullen. The results showed reindeer noses do turn rosy red. I just lost my spot. Let me get a second here. After a treadmill test, the reindeer's nose showed up as red, warm on a thermographic image. In addition, they found gland-like structures in the nasal mucous membrane of reindeer and humans. The structures were surrounded by capillaries, and the researchers suspect, at least in humans, they secrete mucus. These results highlight the intrinsic physiological properties of Rudolph's legendary luminous red nose, which helped to protect it from freezing during sleigh rides and to regulate the temperature of the reindeer's brain, factors essential for flying reindeer pulling Santa Claus's sleigh under extreme temperatures and bad conditions. So, you know, despite the fact if they figured out the technology behind the bright nose that Rudolph has, we probably have much brighter LEDs available to us. All right, so with your permission, Captain, I'm going to take some more check-ins. This is W4RFJ. Anybody got any questions, please throw them at us. We're discussing some of the technologies and the science behind Santa in a sleigh on the Thursday Information Net. This is South Cars, W4RFJ. Please call.
Victor Kilo, number 3, Hotel Juliet, Quebec, VK3HJQ, John in Australia.
Victor Hotel.
Net recognizes HJQ and Victor Hotel. Are there any others? All right, HJQ, go ahead. I'm sorry I didn't get your full call. This is W4RFJ with South Cars Thursday Information Net.
Yeah, fantastic. W4, and I haven't got the rest of it. I think you said RJ from BK3HJQ. John in Australia. Well, we're praying for a white Christmas. I don't think we're going to get it. They forecast, I think, 40 degrees, which is, well, 42, I think, which is about 110 Fahrenheit for Christmas Day, so going to be a fairly warm one. Anyway, I've got a question for you. Does Santa prefer milk or something stronger? So I'm just wondering, he's running around the world having all these glasses of milk and cookies. He probably gets to the last lot. He probably prefers something stronger, I think, over.
yes, VK3HJQ, this is W4RFJ, and happy holidays to you and yours from the South Cars group. Yeah, milk or something stronger. Well, let's just put it this way. We cannot confirm, we can neither confirm nor deny the presence of something stronger. However, we do know that KY6V serves beer. So that might answer your question. Over.
And I think if he went to Norm's place in New Zealand, Norm would probably leave him a keg. Because there'd be no chocolate biscuits left at Norm's place. Oh, fantastic. Anyway, fantastic net. G'day there, Charlie, as well. I see him typing on the screen. He's obviously got audio problems. Anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all you guys, and really like listening to your nets, and hopefully a lot more in 2019. All right, back to net control. W4RFJ, I think I've got it right this time, from John VK3HJQ in Australia.
K3HJQ from W4RFJ in the net. Thank you very much. And next on the list is Victor Hotel. Good evening, Steve. What can we do for you? Over.
Good evening and Merry Christmas to everyone on board the net. Steve, KF5VH from Lafayette, Louisiana. Everyone knows the names Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, and all the other reindeer. Everybody knows Santa's first name is Santa. But you only hear Mrs. Claus. Does someone know what Mrs. Claus's first name really is? Back to net.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. Oh, my goodness. You know, I did some research and I did some conferring with the captain about this. Santa calls her Honey. That's one of her names. Her birth certificate calls her Jessica. I think the elves call her Mrs. Santa. I mean, that's just our interpretation. Do you have any other information that might help us with that? Over.
No, I certainly do not. So Jessica, Jessica Claus. Who would have guessed? Back to net, KF5VH.
Thank you very much, Steve, and Merry Christmas from the net to you. And I forgot to mention, the Admiral's sitting here listening and monitoring me to keep me out of trouble. And she mentioned that Rudolph suffers from rosacea. I forgot to mention that. So not to bring Rudolph's nose back into the picture, but, you know, I'm sure that these LED manufacturers, as soon as they figure out how Rudolph's nose gets so bright, they'll be changing our LED technologies around. Okay, so I think that's taken care of what I've needed to do so far. Let's pass it on to KY6V and see if he has any other information that he'd like to share concerning the science behind Santa's sleigh. Captain, are you available? Over.
Yes, sir, I sure am. Thank you, Roger. KY6V, you know, to answer John down there also, and I know for a fact, talking about higher octane consumption, that Santa enjoys eggnog, number one. And I have personally seen him down a couple of swigs of Captain Morgan. What do you think about that, Chief? Over.
Well, I can only summarize that comment, Captain, with he's got good taste. I just didn't feel I should share that to the public. But you know, the cat's out of the bag. I think somebody said the cat is in the bag earlier. Anyway, back over to you, Captain. What do you got as far as more information and or scientific stuff that we can share with the group? This is W4RFJ. Back to you, sir.
Oh, I think we can beat the bush here a little further. We got, 56 minutes into the and counting. Gordon, KY6V here for Southcars. There was a dude called Silverberg. He was a physicist, and he theorized that Santa's understanding of relative physics is far greater than our own, and this is really what Roger was talking about earlier. Silverberg's theory is plausible, says another physicist, a doctoral candidate researching system physics at the University of Michigan. So we got a lot of high-potent guys here throwing their ideas into the water. If Santa was to travel at about the speed of light, share the delivery workload with his elves, and make use of relativity clouds. That's a new one to me. Relativity clouds. He would be able to deliver the presents in about 5 minutes each time. While I don't know much about relativity clouds myself, this is the physics guy talking, I think it's very possible that a man who flies in a sleigh, lives with elves, and has flying pet reindeer could have the technology needed to utilize relativity clouds, he went on to say. So, and what if Santa deployed multiple sleighs? Excuse me. Silverberg says that if Santa has his elves use 750 sleighs to deliver the gifts, and using the knowledge of relativity physics, take roughly 6 Santa months, to us humans only 24 hours, each sleigh only needs to travel about 80 miles an hour. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. 80 miles an hour, a much more realistic scenario, he went on to say. At 80 miles per hour, you just throw on a couple of jetpacks on either side of the sleigh, and you're there. And that's the way that story went. So, Roger, I'll throw it back to you. W4RFJ from KY6V.
There I go with my operating techniques. I'm still... still suffering from a severe case of caffeine deprivation. That's got to be it. Well, you know, that keeping that in mind, you know, I think that we should probably move into an issue that a lot of people do not really pay much attention to, and that has to do with safety during the holiday season. And, you know, Santa Claus is he's Mr. Safety. You know, he's like me. My main job is to get home and make my wife miserable, and I'm good at it. So even though he probably doesn't make Mrs. Claus miserable, you know, he does strive to be safe in his travels. And no one wants to spoil the holiday season, but Christmas trees in the home can present a fire safety issue. Primary concern with Christmas trees is fire danger, often brought on by the combination of electrical malfunction, and in the case of a real tree, a drying tree. When it becomes dry and brittle, it becomes more flammable. So in the United States, Christmas trees start approximately 210 house fires per year. Now, I know we're talking about 1.6 billion households, but, you know, even one house catching fires too many as far as I'm concerned. So what do you think, Captain? You got anything to add to that? This is W4RFJ.
Yeah, I think we're getting right to the meat of it here. You know, safety is very germane. KY6V, according to the National Fire Protection Association, that's the NFPA, report that was issued in 2015, the U.S. fire departments responded to more than 200 home structure fires annually between 2009 and 2013, in which Christmas trees were the first item to catch on fire. And each year, fires occurring during the holiday season injure 2,600 individuals, causes over $930 million in damage, and this is according to the United States Fire Administration. Sadly, trees-related fires have highly incident of fatalities than a typical house fire. I don't know why that is, but they say that if you got a Christmas tree, your chances of fatalities are higher, and that's according to the NFPA report. As Roger touched on, electrical malfunctions are often to blame for Christmas tree fires. Electrical fires or malfunctions were involved in nearly half of the fires, igniting the tree with sparks or small electric fires. And decorative lights with live voltage will involve more than 20% of the instances. So, you know, bear in mind, guys and gals. And however, putting the trees too close to the open fires or heaters caused a significant number of fires as well. And nearly a quarter occurred because of a heat source was located too close to the trees. Let me buy a nickel here, guys and gals. So taking this subject just a little bit further, it isn't just real trees that are a problem. Malfunctions can also ignite plastic artificial trees. And homeowners should take the same precautions in terms of tree placement and decorations as they would with a real tree. So, again, put that in your pipe and smoke. Be careful with how you discard your tree. You should take care with trees that are left outside as well. And this is an interesting comment to be made here, guys and gals. Listen up. The NFPA report revealed that an annual average of 90 outside and other non-structure fires on residential properties occurred because of Christmas trees stored on the property, the report indicates. Two-thirds of these fires occurred in January, with 64% of them being set intentionally. Now, there's more to follow that intentionally, so listen up. This suggests that discarded Christmas trees may be attractive targets for arsonists, something I've never heard before, but that's what they're saying. Arson's concerned are not an excuse to leave your tree up for the holidays. Excuse me. And it says, according to the NFPA, even a well-watered tree should be taken down within 4 weeks of being brought into the home. If you decorated your real tree right after Thanksgiving, it should be discarded the week after Christmas, not your year's day. Listen up, guys and gals. This is because the end of the holiday season, Christmas trees are extremely dry and present a heightened fire hazard. End of report. Stand tall and look and listen. Back to you, Roger. We're getting close to the end of this. Would you like to do the honors, take some last-minute check-ins, and sing Christmas carols or something? Over.
Well, I was hoping you would. Absolutely. Yeah, are there any final questions or comments concerning what we've covered this evening? You know, it's just fascinating. You know, when we do our ride-along with Santa Claus and we have everybody transported magically to different places, you know, I've had, you know, my grandkids ask me, "Yo, Grandpa, how did you get up there?" I just tell them, I can't tell you, because if I tell you, the magic will be gone. So, anyway, any other questions, any other check-ins? This is W4RFK, and then I'll let the captain tie the ribbon on it after we're done with the last check-ins. Please call W4RFK with the South Cars Thursday Information Net, Science and Santa.
Victor Hotel, recheck.
And Echo Whiskey Golf, recheck.
Okay, the net recognizes Victor Hotel and Echo Whiskey Golf. Are there any others? Okay, hearing none, right to the top of the list. Steve, go ahead, pick her up. What you got there, shipmate W4RFJ in the group?
Thanks, Chief. I have a quick comment and a question. The comment is around here. We collect the Christmas trees. They're taken to the Gulf, on the edge of the Gulf, and the trees are stuffed down into structures, and they actually form a mechanism to retain some of the erosion and actually build back a little of the ground that we're losing. In terms of the question, okay, you know, there was a time when Santa didn't use GPS or MODC transponder or ADS-B to fly around and deliver all the presents. I know that just like Bell Laboratories for the phone company, there is a Santa's Laboratory. I was wondering if we have any information about what they're working on in Santa Labs for the next generation of Christmas present delivery. KF5VH, back to net.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's see. Let me make sure I got this right. Are there any changes? Okay. Well, you know, it's really too early to tell. He has many elves working on plans for the future, and I think some of those elves are actually scientists, but they just won't come clean. Some of these include increasing the some of the plans that he has to do with increasing the speed of travel, the possibility of transporting packages via light energy from an orbital sleigh, and attempting to create an anti-gravity force that would bring the house to him as opposed to him going to the house. Which, you know, at his age, that would probably be much more enjoyable. All of this, of course, in a blink of an eye. So, you know, he's always working on making improvements or changes to make things easier. So, you know, I just, what I say is stand by for heavy rolls. I'm pretty sure that, does that answer your question, Steve? KF5VH in the net, this is W4RFJ.
Sure does, Chief. Good to know that there's something new coming in the future. Back to net.
Thank you, Steve, for being there. And let me, while I've got it keyed down, Echo Whiskey Golf. Dave, go ahead. What you got?
Thank you, Chief. Just a couple of comments here. First, I want to say very nice comments that Gordon was talking about with the safety and concern as trees and fires and everything else. The local fire department here, City of La Crosse, they have a program they call Light It Up Green. On all the fire stations in the City of La Crosse, each fire station has a wreath on it. And all these wreaths have green Christmas tree lights. If there's a structure fire that the fire department responds to, they will take one of those green lights down and replace it with a red light. And it's just a good safety campaign reminder throughout the holiday season to light it up green. And then after Christmas is over, they will let people cut the trees next to the curb, and they will go, the city parks department will go around with a brush chipper and chip up all the trees up by the curbside there. So just a couple comments there on that. W4RFJ from KB9EWG.
Okay, outstanding. You know, I don't think I've ever heard of the fire department in that where I've been. Well, they probably did it. I just didn't pay attention. I can't afford to pay attention. But outstanding. I like that. You know, keep it green. Light up green. That's good. Very good. All right, Captain, if I think that's all I've got, if you want to the reins and do the post-am, we'd greatly appreciate it. KY6V, this is W4RK, and I just hope that kids will get a chance to listen to this, because I know they'll understand it a heck of a lot better than I do. Back over to you, Gordon, KY6V with the Thursday Information Net South Cars. Go ahead, pick her up.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Chief. And I certainly understand the comments about the kids' understanding. Thanks, everybody. I've enjoyed the heck out of this. I hope that you've enjoyed it and maybe learned some new things. And you can pass those new items, if you choose, on to your kids and friends and acquaintances and dazzle them with some of the information. Let me buy a nickel here a moment. I will attempt to get the recordings into a podcast format in the morning and try to get it posted on our website before noon is normally what I try to target, and I'll try to do that again tomorrow morning. So thank you, one and all. This has been SCARS, VOIP Net Schedules, and general information may be found on the SCARSVOIP.com website. Your net controls this evening have been primarily Roger, W4RFJ, opened up with our net manager, K6SUN, and I was happy to be part of the party here, and I'm KY6V. So everybody have a good rest of the evening, which is getting short, and a real fine and dandy tomorrow. Thank you. The net is now closed. Server is returning back to normal use. KY6V clear.